What keeps you up at night? The fear of the unknown or the fear of being normal? Rest assured, you are far from it. Your losses will forever lead to your triumphs. And the evil that meets you at every corner is only proof that you have the power to change. The darkness will always flee from your light, and the world awaits the stories you have left to tell. Godspeed.
Welcome to Faith Matters. It's Friday, and if you're joining us today, welcome to our show. We've got quite a bit happening today. We've got Denise and Annette in the studio. Denise and Annette are going to be unpacking a story called The Happy Prince. This is going to be pretty cool to listen to. Annette's got a beautiful reading voice, so I encourage you to tune in and have a listen to this one, and they're going to unpack this. It's got a great little message behind it, one that I think we can all glean something out of. So that's going to be pretty cool. That's our first part of the show. And then after that, at 1 o'clock, we've got Pastor's Corner. And I have encouraged people to email in questions. And I'm really wrapped that we've had some great response. We've got some tricky questions sitting there. We're not going to unpack them all today, but we have chosen one or two. We'll see where we get to in that. But yeah, that's going to be pretty exciting, and I think we're going to learn a lot from Pastor's Corner and what we're going to look at today, and find out some things maybe we didn't know before. But in the meantime, let's get into some good sounds, and then we're going to have Denise and Annette on.
I'm not going to lie, most of the pandemic I thought I might die. 6 feet deep with my ego and pride. What a time to be alive. Haven't even made it to 35. Time to be alive. What a time to be alive. What a time to
Saw the look on Brady Messi on the line. Tiger and Serena made me cry.
What a time to be alive.
So like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Kia ora, you are with Raglan Community Radio and you're listening to Faith Matters with Marie and Denise. And Marie reckons she's going to stay quiet, so we'll see how we go with that.
I'll try.
But we have a special guest in with us today, and that is Annette Tate. And she's going to be reading us a story, The Happy Prince, which is a beautiful story. I have not heard it for many, many years. And so just being able to refresh and to think about what the story is talking about is quite powerful. So, Annette, would you like to say hi before you start reading?
I would, yes, yes. Good afternoon, everybody in Raglan and beyond who's listening this afternoon on this beautiful day. It's great to join the two ladies here in the studio and really great to be able to share this story, which is one of my favourites. Would you like me to go ahead with it now, Denise?
Yeah, sure thing.
Okay, I'm going to read this to you. This is a story, it's a fairy tale, and it's a story of an unlikely friendship that develops between a swallow and a statue. It's a story about love developing. It's a story about giving. It's a story about the haves and the have-nots and just what something, I can't say somebody, but a statue who did have a heart, just what he did. And this story is called The Happy Prince, so here it goes. High above the city on a tall column stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. One night there flew over the city a little swallow. He saw the statue on the tall column. He alighted just between the feet of the Happy Prince. "I have a golden bedroom," he said to himself, and he prepared to go to sleep. But just as he was putting his head under his wing, a large drop of water fell on him. Then another drop fell, a third drop fell, and he looked up. The eyes of the Happy Prince were filled with tears, and the tears were rolling down his golden cheeks. His face was so beautiful in the moonlight that the little swallow was filled with pity. "Who are you?" he said. "I am the Happy Prince." "Why are you weeping then?" asked the swallow. "You have quite drenched me." "When I was alive and had a human heart," answered the statue, "I did not know what tears were. My courtiers called me the Happy Prince, and now that I am dead, they have set me up here so high that I can see all the misery of my city, and though my heart is made of lead, I cannot choose but weep." "Far away," continued the statue, "is a poorhouse. In a bed, a little boy is lying ill. He's asking for oranges. His mother has nothing to give him but river water, so he's crying, 'Swallow, swallow, little swallow, will you not bring her the ruby out of my sword hilt?'" "I am waited for in Egypt," said the swallow. "My friends are flying up and down the Nile and talking to the lotus flowers. Soon they will go to sleep in the tomb of the great king. The king is there himself in his painted coffin. Around his neck is a chain of pale green jade, and his hands are like withered leaves. 'Swallow, swallow, little swallow,'" said the prince, "'will you not stay with me for one night and be my messenger?'" The Happy Prince looked so sad that the little swallow picked out the great ruby from the prince's sword and flew away with it in his beak over the roofs of the town. He passed by the cathedral tower, where the white marble angels were sculptured. He passed over the river and saw the lanterns hanging to the masts of the ships. At last he came to the poorhouse, where the little boy lay ill, and dropped the ruby onto the table. Then he flew back to the Happy Prince and told him what he had done. "It's curious. I feel quite warm now, although it is so cold." When the moon rose the next day, the swallow looked up at the Happy Prince. "I'm just starting for Egypt," he said. "Swallow, swallow, little swallow," said the prince, "will you not stay with me for one night longer?" "I am waited for in Egypt," answered the swallow. "There on a great granite throne sits the god Memnon. All night long he watches the stars, and when the morning star shines he utters one cry of joy, and then is silent. At noon the yellow lions come down to the water's edge to drink." Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince. Far away across the city I see a young man in a garret. He is trying to finish a play for the director of the theatre, but he's too cold to write any more. I will wait with you one night longer, said the swallow, who really had a good heart. Shall I take him another ruby? Alas, I have no ruby now, said the prince. My eyes are all I have left. They are made of rare sapphires from India. Pluck one of them out and take it to him. Dear prince, said the swallow, I cannot do that, and he began to weep. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, do as I command you. So the swallow plucked out the prince's eye and flew away to the student's garret, and when the student looked up, he found the sapphire lying on his desk. I must bid you goodbye, cried the swallow when the moon rose the next night. I'm going to Egypt. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, will you not stay with me one night longer? It is winter, answered the swallow, and the snow will soon be here. In Egypt the sun is warm on the palm trees, and the crocodiles lie in the mud and look lazily about them. Dear prince, I must leave you, but next spring I will bring you back two beautiful jewels in place of those that you have given away. In the square below, said the happy prince, there lies a little match girl. She has let her matches fall in the gutter. She has no shoes or stockings, and her little head is bare. Pluck out my other eye and give it to her. I will stay with you for one night longer, said the swallow, but I cannot pluck out your eye. You'd be quite blind then. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, do as I command you. So the swallow plucked out the prince's other eye and darted down with it and slipped the jewel right into the palm of the little match girl's hand. Then the swallow came back to the prince. You are quite blind now, he said, so I will stay with you always. All the next day he sat on the prince's shoulder and told him of the stories that he'd seen in strange lands. He told them of him of red ibises who stand in long rows on the banks of the Nile to catch goldfish in their beaks, of the Sphinx who is as old as the world itself and lives in the desert and knows everything, of the great green snake that sleeps in the palm tree, and of the king of the mountains of the moon who is as black as ebony and worships a large crystal. Dear little swallow, said the prince, you tell me of marvellous things, but there's no mystery as great as misery. Fly over my city, little swallow, and tell me what you see there. So the swallow flew over the great city, and he saw the rich merrymaking in their beautiful houses, while the beggars were sitting at the gates. Then he flew back and told the prince what he'd seen. I am covered with fine gold, said the prince. You must take it off, leaf by leaf, and give it to the poor. Leaf after leaf of fine gold the swallow picked off, till the happy prince looked quite dull and grey. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold he brought to the poor, and the children's faces grew rosier and they laughed and played games on the street. Then the snow came, and after the snow came the frost. Everybody went about in furs, and little boys wore scarlet caps and skated on the ice. The poor little swallow grew colder and colder, but he would not leave the prince. He loved him too well. But at last he knew he was going to die. Goodbye, dear prince, he murmured, and he kissed the happy prince and fell down dead at his feet. At that moment a curious crack sounded inside the statue. The leaden heart had snapped right in two. It certainly was a dreadfully hard frost. Early next morning the mayor was walking in the square below with his town councillors. Dear me, how shabby the happy prince looks, he said. And there's actually a dead bird at his feet, he continued. We must issue a proclamation that birds are not allowed to die here. So they pulled down the statue of the happy prince. Then they melted the statue in a furnace, but the broken heart would not melt, so it was thrown on a dust heap where the dead swallow was also lying. Then God said to one of his angels, bring me the two most precious things in the city. And the angel brought him the leaden heart and the dead bird. You have rightly chosen, said God, for in my garden of paradise this little bird shall sing, and the happy prince shall live for evermore.
told me pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. To lay before the king pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. When we come.
That was Little Drummer Boy by For King and Country, a beautiful song for this time of year, and a song that is about offering what we can bring, and it's just a beautiful link back to our story of the Happy Prince. Thank you, Annette. That was really beautiful story. Can you tell us a bit about what it means to you?
Sure. Yeah, it's my pleasure to share that story with you. I read it many, many years ago. In fact, I was at a party with my older sister, Mm-hmm. And she was with her friends and they were having a good time, and I was kind of like the young one that was really didn't have anybody to talk to. And so I sort of wandered into a room and found a bookcase and pulled this book out and sat down and read it and cried, because it just moved me so much, and it does every time. Every time I read it, it's just one of those special stories that, you know, that talks to me, that I guess it speaks to my heart about loving and about giving, about unlikely friendships. I mean, who would think a statue and a swallow, eh? Develop a friendship of love and dependence on each other. And, and it really speaks to my heart about some beautiful things that we have going on in this world, like friends and giving, people in need, noticing them and giving what we have, what we can, what we've got away with love.
Yeah, I noticed as you're reading the story, the struggle that was going on within the swallow. There's this opportunity to go to warmer climes and just have a lovely time and enjoy watching the crocodiles and all these things. And yet at the beginning, the swallow doesn't love the statue. But as he starts sacrificing his own,
wealth.
And opportunities, he actually starts to see the heart of the statue and starts to grow in his love for him. It was, pretty amazing.
It's a beautiful one, it really is, yes. And just seeing a couple of hearts being knit together and perhaps a vision being caught. The statue no longer had the ability to do anything, and in his human life he was selfish and unable, not able to do things or chose not to do the things. But then once he was lifted up as a statue over the city, he could see what was going on, and although his heart at that stage was lead, he chose, I suppose, to give it away, to give away what he had in terms of wealth, but more than that, to give away his heart to those who were around him in his city who were suffering. And that's kind of like it speaks to me, really. It just speaks to me all the time of choosing to see around us and choosing to give whatever we've got to give with those who could perhaps do with it who are around us.
It was amazing, because when he lost his capacity to see, because he'd given his eyes away, the bird came back with positive feedback, and he's like, no, go and see the suffering, go and see the hard things and come and tell me about those.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, like Christmas is always a special time, isn't it? It's I like Christmas, I enjoy lots of beautiful things about Christmas, but I also really get annoyed at the ho-hum advertising, the commercialism, the push, this is making Christmas special, or that's making Christmas special, and it's always buying something, giving something away that is massively large, that kind of thing. And I really resist that, because I think that is not what it's all about at all. Christmas is a time to be together, and Christmas is a time of giving. And for me, Christmas is that time of remembering the greatest gift of all, which was the gift of Jesus coming into this world as a baby to give us spiritual life.
Actually, just thinking about that as you're saying that from a different angle, like, you know, we know Jesus was born in a stable and kind of had lowly beginnings, and so you think, well, what did he have to give? And yet he gave his life, which was what he had. That's quite powerful.
You know what I quite liked about the story, I think, was the, for me, I kind of see it in the way of culture and our differences. And I loved how the sparrow, because it's a metaphor, the sparrow and the statue. Obviously, the statue is not really alive.
Wreck
the story. No, it's a metaphor of two unlikely individuals coming together and having a common cause that wasn't about themselves but about other people. And I think, you know, coming into Christmas, we can often miss relationships because people are so different from us, you know, and we can avoid conversations because we feel like, well, they probably wouldn't get us, you know, if I was to talk to them, you know, we might be a hit and miss. But I think this story uncovers those inner treasures about how that situations can change when we look outside of what our needs are and look at other people's needs. And this is very much about seeing the needs in his own town and who wasn't getting fed or looked after or cared for. And, and you know, the metaphor being there was a heart change from a statue. Somebody that, you know, if you looked at that as a metaphor, you know, somebody who's cold and ungiving and not movable, you know, has a change of heart because of what they see through, and maybe even through another person's eyes, and suddenly everything changes. And the riches that we have, we realise that actually they're just they're going to go. They're not. You can't hold them forever. They don't increase our heart, do they? They don't give us a heart response. They just give us a, you know, it feels might feel good to give something away, but, you know, we kind of want that affirmation back that we did a great job.
Right.
Whereas when we give it from our heart, you know, there's a different response to that. It's out of a desire to fulfill another person's need, you know, when they're hurting or they're struggling or... You know, and so I think it's a beautiful picture of giving our riches away, and really the greatest riches we're going to have is what's waiting for us after this life because of the way we've lived it, which doesn't always mean we tick the boxes, all right? That's not about being, like, perfect. This is a heart response to situations that are really cold and have no emotion attached to them. So.
Interesting. I was driving last night and I was listening to a song, and it was a Christmas song that someone's written, obviously having had a hard Christmas where they've experienced loss. And the song, we'll have to bring it up next week actually, it's the song about if this Christmas, something along those, if this Christmas is different for you, I'm here. And I thought, actually, like, that's really,
well, that's very normal.
It is lovely, but it's, I think sometimes you don't see the suffering unless you've been through stuff. And so if you're, if, you know, you kind of, you might be having your really tough Christmas this year, and that might be a challenge, and it might be a first of missing people or first of different things. But actually, you know, there are others who have walked that journey as well, and hopefully they have eyes to see. But if they don't... Yeah, there is one who does see what's going on in your heart. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So we're going to go on, it seems appropriate, since we were just listening to a story about a statue, I'm going to play Friends in High Places.
I'm a simple man with dust on these cracked and calloused hands. I ain't rich enough to buy myself a chance. I'm like everybody else. I got a twisted, broken story I could tell. I paved the road to hell with stones I laid myself. And I built it all too well. Well, I know what I've done, and if judgment should come, I couldn't face it on my own. But the Savior stepped in, saw the worst of my sin, and just erased it. Guess you could say I've got a friend in high places. Hey, I'm living proof what a carpenter from Nazareth can do. How a hammer and a nail can make things new. And I don't know why he cared enough to turn his head and hear my prayer. heaven when he could have just stayed there. It really don't seem fair. No, it don't seem fair. 'Cause I know what I've done, and if judgment should come, I couldn't face it on my own. But the Savior stepped in, saw the worst of my sin, and just erased it. I guess you could say I've got a friend in high places. Scared of what you've done or where you've been, just open up the door and let him in. If you need a friend.
I'm
Well, welcome back. You are with Faith Matters, listening to Faith Matters with Marie and with Annette and with Denise in the studio, having a ball of a time on this lovely summer afternoon. Is it technically summer? Oh, it's December it is.
We're in it. We're talking Christmas, Denise.
Yay. It's so good. So if you have just joined us, we have listened to the story that The Happy Prince, that Annette read to us earlier. And we've been talking about the act of sacrifice, the act of love, of giving out of what you have. And in the case of the little sparrow, didn't really have anything of worth, or little swallow. And yet the statue where this little swallow was perched had eyes to see the suffering in the city and encouraged the swallow, invited the swallow time and time again to give the jewels that were on the hilt of his sword and actually pluck out his eyes and start giving the things that he had of value to help the people in his community. So it's quite a powerful story. Mm.
We will have no eye plucking and firing at all, okay? No eye plucking.
Yes. This was a metaphor. You're not allowed to take it literally.
No, but it is a great story, and we can learn so much from stories because, we can process it. And what does it mean for me?
Totally. Yeah, I love stories. I love fairy tales. I love metaphor because it helps me understand the world around me, you know, life, and it's so good. And I'd just like to encourage all the parents and the grandparents who might be listening today to read to your children, when you've got time, in fact, when you haven't got time, read to your children, read to your grandchildren. I remember hearing a question was once asked, when should you stop reading to your children? And the answer was, when they ask you to.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought that was a pretty good one because reading is not just imparting knowledge. Reading is sharing, and reading is cuddling together and snuggling together on the couch and sharing something that might be funny or might be sad or might be interesting. Or might be, something else, just together with another little person, smaller person than you, and it's a lovely time of bonding together. Mm. And you can talk, you can read a beautiful story like The Happy Prince and then have a chat about it.
That's so good.
It just brings up conversations, and sometimes these conversations can lead to, all sorts of interesting things. Awesome. That you've got no idea what goes on inside the heads of the children, but you do find out when they start sharing with you and talking with you.
Yes, I've actually got a grown son, and the best stories, like the ones he loved, he's now just taking them from my bookshelf and just squirreling them away at his house. And I'm like, hey, I want them here to share with everyone. He's like, no, get another one. I want this one.
Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? Sharing literature, sharing stories. Thanks. So I'd like to thank Marie for asking me to come along today. I've really enjoyed coming and sharing with you two ladies and reading that story to everybody that's out there listening. Really appreciate that opportunity. Thank you so much. And I would just like to wish you a very happy afternoon and a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Oh, many blessings to you, Annette. We appreciate you coming in and sharing your time and your stories with us. And we're going to have Annette in here. She's busy now to the end of the year. We're not probably see her till next year, but we've already talked about another lovely little story we would love you to read. And we're going to be able to unpack heaps around that one too. So, be encouraged. Stories are a way to bring connection. There you go.
Absolutely. Right, well, we're going to say goodbye to Annette here in the studio, and while we're doing that, I'm going to play for you Hope Road by Toby Mac.
I locked the front door, turned in the keys. No need to hang on to what I no longer need. That old house is empty, it's a thing.
it can bust through those windows. Go ahead and tear down that door. All the chaos that lives here ain't my chaos no more. God, imagine that's paid for by the blood of my Savior. You can post it on the front door. I can see it in my mind.
Still yet to come. me down, I'm gonna get back up again.
Indeed it is, and don't you forget it, your best is still yet to come. Hey, we're at 1 o'clock and we've got Pastor's Corner starting up. We've got Pastor Roger in the studio with us. We've got Denise here and me, and we're going to unpack some questions that have come through on Faith Matters. I encourage you, if you've got questions around faith, God, Jesus, Christianity, anything really, you could email into faithmatters98.1fm@gmail.com, all lowercase. We've already got some real good ones sitting there waiting to go. So I'm just going to check in with Pastor and we're going to start right after the song. Have a little faith. There we go. Welcome in the studio, Pastor Roger.
Hi, Marie. Welcome, Reglan.
And Denise, you're still here?
I'm still here.
She's there.
We've swapped seats, though. We have. I'm the quiet one now.
Yeah. I'm in the driver's seat. There we go. I'm not a very good driver, you know that. I can go a bit fast sometimes and always use the brake.
I don't want to stereotype you, Marie.
Better to keep that quiet. Okay, so like I said, Pastor's Corner is... It's about a lot of things, really. It's about speaking into community and in many ways, letting people know what we do in our faith and how it works. And part of this is asking those who want to send in questions, because we all have questions. So just know you can send in questions and your name will stay anonymous. So the first question we have in here, and I have quite a few, but I just thought I'd pick one of the nicer ones that maybe not.
So you've got some questions. Okay, well done.
I do. And here goes. This is the first question. Does God hear the prayers of unbelievers? There you go.
Well, that's a big question. It's a good question.
It is a good question.
I guess it really depends... how you define an unbeliever. Does that mean someone that doesn't believe in God, for example? Because I don't really think there are many people that totally don't believe in God. I think there are a few people around that claim to be atheists, which means that you don't believe in anything.
Yep.
But I think most people actually believe that there is something out there. So that's a big question. I guess an unbeliever could be all sorts of degrees of belief. It's... interesting thought, but do you want a quick off-the-cuff answer?
Well, no, we want an in-depth,
theological,
going to nail you if you get it wrong. We just want your answer.
That's special.
All right. Well, my short answer really would be absolutely. I believe God hears and knows every prayer, every cry of our heart. He knows even what we're thinking. And he's really interested in every single one of us, regardless of what our belief of him might be. And, you know, whether we've got a strong faith in God or a wavering faith or none at all, if we cry out to him, actually the Word of God promises that he will. And I've just got a little verse here. And it goes like this, and it's from Jeremiah chapter 33. God is actually saying to us through the prophet Jeremiah, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." It's like God puts out a challenge, actually, to us to talk to him, to ask him, to pray to him, to call out to him, to cry out to him. Yeah. And that verse promises that, yes, if we mean it, any single one of us, it doesn't matter where we're at in life, how old or young we are, what our background is, whether we've been brought up in faith or not, I think God is actually longing for us to call out to him and acknowledge him and talk to him. So there you go. That's the short answer.
Yeah.
There's a song from years ago, From a Distance, talking about how God is so distant, and yet God, it's described in the Bible how for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus as his rescue plan to reconnect, to reconcile with people who were far from him. So his heart is actually turned towards us.
I can... For me, I guess, not coming from a Christian family as such, it's always about experience for me, all the things I've experienced that led me to my relationship with God. And that first experience that I've talked about on air before with Denise, out, you know, at the back of the farm with my parents, I was probably about four. And I sensed God, and I felt him everywhere. I knew that I was created and that God loved me and that everything I could see around me was created by him. I was 4 years old. That's a big memory. Some of you might think that's a big memory to have in such a way that I can remember it. But the reality is when God speaks to you, speaks into your heart, it has a profound effect over your life, and you don't forget God encounters. That's the truth. You just do not forget them. And it's been had an impact on me because I was so young, and the feeling and how it related to me as a young girl impacted everything. I just knew that I was in a place that had been created by this incredible something, and I couldn't even put a word to it at that time because, like I said, I didn't come from a Christian environment. I think God definitely wants to connect with us, wants to have relationship with us, and if we're open to that, I think that even when we're not looking, he will present himself.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess the whole concept of God and what he's like is it's quite a challenging thought, really, because we can't see God as such. I mean, you know, and to be talking to somebody that we can't see can seem a little bit weird, can't it?
Mm.
And I mean, I think that's why it's such a good question. That very first question that you've brought up, Marie, is that, you know, does God hear us when we talk to him, even if we don't, you know, really believe in him?
Mm.
Because, you know, we can't see him physically. We can't touch him physically. So it is more of an inner experience. Is that what you would say?
Absolutely an inner experience. It was, for me, if I can put it into words, it was like a heart response. You know, when you really, really love something, like unconditionally, incredibly love something, it was that kind of feeling, but 10 times more, if I could put it that way. It was incredible. But that wasn't my own only experience. And I think having come into my faith and have given my heart to God, what that means is that I've actually have and do want him in my life. Mm. That was a choice I made, but he was certainly there well before I chose to have him there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing to know.
I think the other thing to point out is that probably everybody has their own experience. And my experience was different to yours. I can't remember having an experience like that when I was so young.
Mm.
But you know, as I grew older, it was probably more of a gradual process for me, and also seeing other people that I loved and trusted that actually did have a real faith and made me think, well, you know, they're good people, and maybe even thinking back to what Annette's story earlier is that it's sometimes the experiences that we have through other people. Even though we can't see God as such, we actually can experience him through others, and we can experience him in our own way, and it will be different for everybody. I think that's been my experience anyway, is that there's not like a set formula.
No.
That everyone will come to God in a certain way or a certain time or have a certain experience or a certain understanding, and that's why I think I just want to encourage everyone that's listening today is not to rule out the possibility that actually God is there and he does love you and he does want you to call out to him and talk to him. So, that's it. But just because you don't have a similar experience to Marie or me or Denise or, you know, whoever, doesn't mean that he will relate to us in the way that's just right for us. That's been my experience anyway, that everyone has a different journey and a different way of relating to God.
I totally agree. And Denise, before we head into a song, what was your first one?
My first experience of God?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, apparently I was, before I have memories, other people can remember me praying for others. Apparently my sister was unwell one day and she wasn't able to go to school. And so I prayed for her and she was healed. And she was really mad because she had a maths test that day and she didn't want to go to school. So I have other people's memories of me. But yeah, I too was very young. I do remember at age 4 wanting to invite Jesus into my life. And so I did that. But right from the very beginning, I've always known that God is there and that he loves me.
Wow. Mm. It's, yeah, the hearing stories, I think, other people's experiences just helps us to perhaps unlock some of ours that we've forgotten about. So be encouraged.
The blood they say to me, wine was a lie, they pulled.
Brandon Lake, Coat of Many Colours. You've been listening to Marie, Denise and Pastor Roger on Faith Matters 98.1 Raglan Community Radio. We're in Pastor's Corner. This is playing once a fortnight. Like I said, if you've got questions, this is a great place to send those questions, have them unpacked. We don't guarantee there's going to be the answers for you, but we will certainly look at unpacking them for you, and maybe that'll lead you to some answers in yourself. Today we looked at, does God hear the prayers of unbelievers? And we've been looking at that, and we're just going to carry on a bit. There we go. Let's continue everyone up here. There we go. I've been told.
I have a question for you, Marie. last week, you were talking about your email address for sending in questions, yes. And you kept saying it didn't have an FM. What did we discover after we finished on air?
You definitely got an FM. Of course it's got an FM. It's Faith Matters. I would not leave the FM off. No brainer there.
So what is the email address for people to email in?
Email in is all lowercase. Faith Matters 98.1 FM at gmail.com.
So anyone can send in any question.
Absolutely. And at some point we will air it. I won't put on people's names. It is held in confidence because, sometimes we want to know things and we don't always want to have our names out there.
Yeah, but we've already had a few come in, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I've got enough to take us into next year now.
And, and remind us of the first question again that we've already been answering.
Does God hear the prayers of unbelievers?
Yeah, what an awesome question.
It is a good question. Mm.
I think it actually links back in a way to the story of the happy prince that we were reading earlier, because you had the statue in this town, and the statue, if you think of that as the father heart sort of looking out over the city and seeing all the suffering and seeing the people who were struggling and gave what he could through the little swallow to help people. And at the end, although his heart was made of lead, when the little swallow died, his heart cracked, broken heart. And so just thinking about that and thinking about, does God hear our prayers? And we've been talking about how, yes, God loves us. And that reminded me of a thing we saw on Facebook. I've had it on my page and Marie's had it on the Faith Matters page. It's a little meme. It says, a physician once said, the best medicine for humans is love. Someone asked, what if it doesn't work? He smiled and said, increase the dose.
Mm.
So that's real powerful.
It is, isn't it? I mean, we know it is, because it's actually quite hard to love sometimes when we don't want to. Our attitudes and our moods can swing us to and from, and we don't always feel like giving or loving. And so, to increase the dose, I think something in us has to change if we're going to come from that place.
Actually, thinking about the dose of love, like even sometimes when you're not moved by something, and when you get more into the story and you realise the heart behind that story,
that's like the little drummer boy. That song, The Little Drummer Boy, I'm just going to put that in there. If you guys, we've played that today, but that one brings me to tears. Why? Because it's a massive heart response and it just breaks me every time. So I encourage you to have a listen to the words. What do you think of that, Pastor? Have you listened to that song?
I think I've heard of that one, but I think increase the dose of love. I think it actually shows that actually we were created to receive love and to give love. And it just shows the importance really of relationships, doesn't it? Because, I mean, if we're isolated on our own, lonely, and not experiencing any love, it actually does affect us. And I think, God's put us in communities, put us in families. He puts us in church families for a reason, so that we can actually share love with one another and learn to love one another, even sometimes when it's not so easy. But we can only do that once we've got that impartation of God's love to start with.
Mm.
And that begins with getting back to the question, of actually reaching out to God, talking to him. And that's when we begin that process. And it's just, it's quite awesome, really, when you think about it.
Now, I have a question for you that's in this question. It says, does God hear the prayers of unbelievers? Well, I guess when we think, about that word unbelievers and praying. So tell me, if you don't have relationship and you're looking for relationship, and here it says prayers, how does somebody who doesn't know anything, tell me about prayer, how would they even start?
It's real simple. It's really just like talking to God, just like we would to anybody else. As we said before, we can't see him, but if we can, we can just talk to him. We can talk in our thoughts, we can talk out loud, we can kneel down and talk to him, or we can stand up, we can talk to him as we go about our day. There's no one right or wrong way. We just need to talk about it, which actually reminds me of another verse in the Bible, and I think it's in Psalm 34, where God says to us, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think it's almost like God is puts out a challenge to us to, you know, sometimes we may not believe, we may not understand God at all. We may wonder, well, is he really real? Is he really there at all? And God, all the way through the Bible, which is him speaking to us, he's saying, come on, just give it a go. Just taste and see, you know, call out to me and I will answer you. And I think that whole concept of taste and see, it's like, you know, if you're not sure what something tastes like, you just have a little taste.
Yeah.
And then you know whether it's something that you like or not.
Yeah, it's good.
And I think most people, when you just have a little taste of God and his goodness and his love for us, it makes us want more. And that's been my experience anyway. It's been a growing thing.
And
as I've just had a little taste here and there, I've realized that, hey, God is with me. He has heard my prayers, even though sometimes I thought it took him a while to answer or whatever, you know, and it's not always on our terms how we would expect or want. But then you think, wow, actually, God did hear my prayer. He did hear my cry. He did hear it when I talked to him. And then it starts to become a growing thing.
Yeah.
So I think I just want to put that challenge out there. Why don't we all consider just a taste of God, just considering asking him stuff, asking him to help us when we're struggling, asking him rather to just reveal himself to us in some way. And I think he will surprise us.
Mm.
I think that's what God loves to do. He loves to spring little surprises on us. And so that we actually can't deny the fact that, actually, there really is something out there is real.
And if you're somebody who has heard of God and you've only heard stories, you might think of him as distant or as angry, and you're hearing us talk about God as a loving God, and you're like, what on earth? There is a difference between knowing about a person and actually experiencing that person. So somebody might have been portrayed a certain way, but that might not actually be who they are.
That's so true, Denise. Well done. I like that point because, often we can get we can judge before we know. And unless we've had a taste of something, we just don't know ourselves, do we? We're taking someone else's experience and making it our own, which isn't helpful.
You know what? Years ago, my husband made a piece of toast and put on it Vegemite and honey at the same time, and I was just like, ooh, and he just looked at me and he said, have you tasted it? And I said, no. And he said, well, then I don't judge. And he's like, do you want to taste it? I was like, no. So apparently Vegemite and honey is actually really nice, but until I get brave enough to actually taste and see,
he might
I'm not
change your world,
Denise.
He might change your world. That Vegemite and what was it? Vegemite and what?
Honey.
Oh, honestly, Leonard, what were you thinking? What do you think about that, Pastor? Would you try that one?
Well, maybe I've still got a few things to try.
Our taste buds.
Anyway.
I don't know about that one. But, hey, if we don't know, we're not going to know, are we?
No.
So that's not going to kill you, is it? So you can try it out, Denise. You can give that one a go. Hey, this has been really good sharing with you all today. It's, I think it's a great space to be in when we can share ideas and get to know more about faith. If we haven't looked at it before, we can use this space to unpack some things. But if you're on a faith journey, like most of us are, I encourage you to head along to Surfside Church, 10 a.m., Raglan Area School on Sunday morning. We're heading into some Christmas services now, I think. Roger, would you like to speak into that a bit?
Yeah, we are coming. I mean, Christmas is coming up pretty fast, coming ready or not. It's only two or three weeks away. And I guess we're all in that crazy busy stage of getting ready for Christmas holidays, family gatherings and all the rest of it. But we, over the next, starting on Sunday, we are getting into the Christmas theme at church. So that's what we're heading into over the next few weeks, and I'll be kicking that off on Sunday. We'll have a few carols, and it's just coming into that season, rather than it just being a busy, crazy, hectic sort of a deadline time that we can all experience. That it's sometimes really good to pause and actually think about, you know, why we have Christmas, what the meaning of it is. And I think, you know, we've been talking about having that relationship with God and calling out to Him. Does He hear us when we pray, regardless of what we believe about Him or not? But I think Christmas is an indication to me that actually God has taken the initiative. He has stepped in. That's what Christmas is really all about. God stepping into His creation. Jesus coming as a little baby, and beginning that process of relationship with us. So that's really what Christmas is all about. So it ties right in with that very first question that we've had today, that yes, God does hear our prayers, He does hear our cry, and actually Christmas is proof of that, because He has chosen to step in so that we can have ultimately a relationship with Him. So that's what we're celebrating over the next few weeks, is God stepping into His creation to begin that that relationship with us, His kids.
And I can only encourage you, if you want to know more about that relationship, the Christmas is a great time to find out more about the stories that are in our history. Part of our cultural history as a Christian. They're our foundations of what we believe, why we believe, and the reason we believe. So Christmas is the reason for the season. I said that wrong. It's backwards.
I think we need to remember too that all the churches around Raglan will be celebrating Christmas. I mean, we have St. Peter's Anglican, the Catholic Church. We have the Congregational Church at Stewart Street, as well as Surfside. All the Christian churches getting into this celebration. So what we can slot in wherever we're most comfortable, and we'll be having like a Christmas service every Sunday right through now till Christmas Day. We've got four celebration services coming up, which is, it's absolutely awesome, and we'll have special things with the kids and for the kids, and even a Christmas meal together, and different things going on. But it's all a part of that build up to the big day of Christmas Day, and the excitement of that, but also the special the heart behind it is what we're really wanting to remember.
Yeah, for sure.
As we come into this season.
Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about today. So we're going to round off our show now. It'd be great if you could pray for us, our community, and Christmas before we head out. And just a reminder that we have Pastor's Corner every fortnight. So in 2 weeks, we'll have you back. We're looking forward to that. So it'd be great if you could do that for us on the way out.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'd like to just pray for God's peace and blessing over the community, because that's what the angels said, you know, that peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's why Jesus came. So, Lord God, I just thank You for this awesome place that we live, this beautiful community with the great people here, and we're living around nature, Your creation. And I just want to pray that as people come here over this Christmas holiday season, that there would be a sense of Your peace would settle over this community, and Your love and Your goodness. And we would all experience that. We'd all have that little taste of You this Christmas, and that It's not just about the family gatherings and the parties and the presents, but there's actually a little bit more behind it. I pray for that understanding to sort of spread afresh in each of our hearts in this Christmas season. So I just want to declare a blessing over awesome Whangarei Raglan. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Everything I need, so I will not worry. I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me. He said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know. Doubt my victory. Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, he quiets the storm inside.